metropolis of Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Woo! Hey, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here with us today, for all of those of you who are here, and for those who are watching by live stream. We just want to welcome you and thank you for being a part. And I want you to know something, that it is a very significant thing that we would take time out of our schedule to gather together. God blesses and God comes in to us when we establish ourselves as a church family and when we're willing to come together. You know, it's amazing because for some of you who could not be here, we had a great marriage conference, but one, amen. Wow. But one thing that we learned during the marriage conference is that there are definitely two different terms for one. And the one term is one, like there's one cookie left and I'm going to try to eat it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. But then the other term for one is as that one can actually be two or it can be many that come together in unity. Amen. And definitely when it comes to marriage, we want God to be in unity with us as a husband and a wife. And that's a three-string chord of unity where we gather as a husband and wife with God. And that becomes a supernatural foundation of oneness that cannot be shaken. Amen? And I want you to know that just like with marriage, there's 100% opportunity for you to be successful in marriage when God is concluded. I want you to know that in life, there's 100% opportunity. Good morning. It's good to see you guys. Can be 100% opportunity for you to be successful in life when God's included. Amen. So this morning, we're just going to step into a time of worship, and we're just going to be thankful as we use our faith just to experience what God has for us. Amen. God bless you and welcome.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning. place an altar. Make this place an altar. I enter the gates with nothing but thanks. I wanna magnify your worth. I wanna bring you more than words. I enter the gates, come reckless with praise. I bring a heart that wants you first, all for your glory. Lord, we bless your name. And sing, my soul will sing, my soul will make this place an altar, make this place an altar. Sing, my soul will sing, my soul will make this place an altar, make this place an altar.
You have no rival. You have no rival.
nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. I want you guys to think about whatever situation that you guys have been praying about, or whatever situation you found yourself in. And then I want you to say the name Jesus. It doesn't matter what situation. All we need to do is speak the name of Jesus this morning and have faith in Him that He's going to take care of it all. His name is mighty. His name is powerful. His name is worthy. His name is above every name. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's powerful, and He cares about the situation you're in. He cares about your emotions. He cares about your health. He cares about everything this morning. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. And mountains are still being moved. Still being loose. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. And giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set out. Declare it this morning. Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Yes, we can see the wonders are still what you do. Tell them this morning, we are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Sweet. 'cause we need a move. Lord, we need you this morning. We need a move. Come on, this is our faith this morning. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Declare that again this morning. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. And I Let's lift our hands this morning and declare, I exalt thee, and I exalt thee, Lord, we worship you. As we're singing that, the Lord's, I just felt him wanting me to remind you, you have a weapon against the enemy. You have your voice. You have the name of Jesus. All we have to do is proclaim, is to use that voice. So let's sing that again. We don't need any music. You don't need me. You don't need anybody else around you. You just need to lift up his name. In a situation, you just need to cry, Jesus. In a situation, you need to say, no, I am going to praise. I am going to praise. So let's sing this again. And I exalt thee. And I exalt thee. And I exalt thee. Oh, Lord, Lord, we exalt you. And I exalt thee. And I exalt thee. And I exalt thee. Oh, Lord, Lord, we exalt your name this morning.
Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I always want us to keep our heart worshipful and open towards God. Amen. And you know, just like that song said, we exalt him. You know what? We've got to remember that we have got to put the Lord first in every aspect of our life. Amen. Praise God. Because when you put God first and when you exalt him into every situation that you face in life, I promise you that things will work out on your behalf. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. It's good to be with you this morning. And tell you what, we had a couple great days. Hey, you got that baby back there, don't you? Amen. It's good to see Shalim and his brand new baby, John. And so we're just excited about having them with us this morning. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Amen. I need you to keep them all up in prayer, and God is helping. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Very good. Well, with that being said, I want to remind everybody that, first of all, I want to thank all of you that came out to the EXO Marriage Conference. We had a very good turnout, and it was very, very powerful. There's a lot of good things there. And is there anybody who attended the conference that would like to come up and just give a brief statement on something that they really gleaned from the conference and that they really took from it. If I got anybody, why don't you just take a minute to do that for me? Anybody want to come up and say just something that they learned? Cool. Okay.
So I took a lot of notes, but I think the biggest things that stood out from that was that selfish people can't have a successful marriage.
Oh, my goodness. Ouch, ouch, ouch.
And in another Praise message, the name it of the was Lord. The dominant person needs to die first. You got to die to self.
Amen, amen.
Not
amen.
That I'm dominant, but I've died a lot over the years.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
But I think another part, too, was that sometimes the place of death and the place of destiny look very much the same for
Amen.
A season.
Amen.
And that sometimes we're not buried, we've been planted.
Amen.
So that we can grow.
Amen. Praise
and,
God.
I think that final thing was that no matter what our storm looks like, because some of us have been through some serious storms in our lives, but to remember that Jesus didn't leave the boat and he
Amen.
Hasn't left your boat.
Amen.
That he still walks with us.
Amen.
He's still with us,
Amen.
Even when he's silent.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Those are definitely some very good points from the marriage conference. Amen. And like I said, one of the things I liked was that they made the identification of the fact that that word one has a couple different meanings. Amen. Number one, there is the one, like singular, like, hey, I gave you my reference earlier that there's one cookie left and I'm going to try to grab it before anybody else, praise God. But then there is that oneness that comes out of unity. And that is what we're really looking for, both not just what I liked about the marriage conference is that there's insights there that were for marriage, but we also learned that when you are putting God into something, it reaches over into all aspects of our relationship, amen?
Amen.
And when we talked about one, I will tell you that I loved it because in the marriage conference, Jimmy Evans came up and he said, first of all, when we talk about one, first of all, we got to talk about our relationship with God first. Amen?
Amen?
Because everything after that will be impacted on our relationship with God first. So our first relationship in life is with God personally. Now, that's whether you're married or single. You've got to have an individual relationship with God. Then, for a married couple, their marriage is second. Amen?
Amen?
Then comes church, then work, then everything else falls in line after that. Amen? So that foundation is very powerful. And I like to always talk about this, the very fact that the Lord, when he made the marriage covenant, it was at that time that he said, mankind can now have dominion
Amen.
Over the earth. Because based upon that love between a husband and a wife, first of all, that's the first level of knowing how to, first of all, choose love. And then to lay down your life for each other, amen? And all that gives us a reflection of what God has done in choosing us, amen? So praise God. So that was a very good time. We enjoyed it, hallelujah. And so we're all the better for it, and we're glad to be here with you today, amen?
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. I want to remind everybody that today at 5:30 is our teen meeting for teens tonight. So make sure that if you have a teen that you get them here for that. It's going to be great. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and let those children skedaddle out from us. I think they got a snack down there and everything. Man, I'm telling you. Ooh. Makes it hard on me, praise God. But they're going to have... They're down there eating snacks, hallelujah, but they're going to have a good time in the Lord, hallelujah. And then what we're going to do right now is I want to take just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about our offering just for a minute today, and I want to remind everybody that it says out of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vines cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I want each and every one of us to understand that giving and offerings, and especially tithing, must be something that you receive in your spirit. And it's something that should come out of your confidence and your relationship with God. Amen? And what I like about our Lord is that in this scripture, he says, prove me. Do you know that the Lord is not afraid of you exercising your faith and seeing what God will do? He says, prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will show you that not only will I open the windows of heaven, but God will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. You know, sometimes people fool themselves by not realizing that we have an adversary. You know, even for those who speak faith and talk faith, I want you to understand something, that you have an adversary called the devil that will fight against you and come against you, and we need all aspects of God to be working on our behalf, right? And he says that he will rebuke the devourer on our behalf, amen? And he will make room for us, and he loves us. And God, when he releases a promise in the Bible, that promise comes with the benefits of if you will use your faith to receive what God's asking you to do, you will see supernatural outcomes, amen? And so God is a good God. So this morning, as we take up tithes and offerings, I want it to be something that you participate in because of your faith towards God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you now, and God, as we take up this moment to worship you in the area of the tithes and offerings, Father, we are expressing our trust in you, God. We're expressing our confidence in you and who you are and what you'll do on our behalf, Father. Lord, I thank you that you rebuke the devourer, God. I thank you that you move on our behalf, and God, that you supernaturally touch and increase what otherwise would just be a natural substance in this earth. You actually can add the miraculous supernatural of your grace upon it, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you, God, that as people give, it's given back to them, Father. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Father. You touch their lives, and you touch their finances, their health, and you touch them in every area, God. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Mr. Jared is not here today, and neither is my dear wife, Miss Regina. So we're just going to take a few moments, because not just them, but right now we've had a lot of people who have been sick, and we just want God to touch people. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift up people, God, people that are not here today, Father, because sickness, God has them in a battle, Father. But Lord, we thank you that supernaturally, you are the God of healing. You're the God of mercy and grace that sustains. And Father, we thank you for doctors. We thank you for medicine. And we thank you for all of that. But God, what really brings healing and stability to people is your divine nature and your touch, Father. So Lord, we just put people before you today that are sick and suffering, God. And we just ask you supernaturally even now to turn that around for them, God. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about faith And I'm going to begin with a scripture right here in the book of Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to read to you. It says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I want to talk to you about this just for a moment because I want you to hear some things that are critical to us. First of all, we're never going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? First of all, I want you to know something, that whether science ever embraces it or not, whether the news media ever grabs it or not, whether billionaires ever believe it or not, what I need you to understand is that the very way people was meant to live on this earth was never to be on their own on this earth. They were supposed to live by faith. I want you to know that every person born at any time, God is looking for them, whether they get saved when they're children or whether they would get saved in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I don't care when it is. Do you know that God never gives up his journey of being in pursuit of people to be saved? Not one person was ever meant to live on this earth without a relationship with God. So we're never going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're never going to be ashamed to talk about faith, because that is the very outlet and the very way life was supposed to be lived. Amen? Not one time was man ever supposed to live life on his own or away from the loving nature of God. And it says that we're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you want to know why? Because the most relevant information, the wisdom beyond wisdom, the most relevant information we have as humanity is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that for every generation, the foundation of God's word has helped humanity be here. And I want you to know something. Every foundation of every generation that would ever be existence on the earth, I'm telling you that what's going to keep it going is those people who will lift up the word of the name of the Lord. Amen? I want you to know that in every generation, it's just been interesting to me, because I will tell you that it may not be this way now. Of course, there's not much to discover like it was when they were first discovering. But I want you to know something, especially here in the United States. Do you know that every town, one of the first things that was done when a town was discovered is that they would build a church? And I want you to know something, that even around here, you can go to like old Sydney, Piqua, you can go even to Lima or anywhere, you can go, and the first thing you will find in the deep parts of the original aspects of the town is you'll find churches. And you will find that some of the first buildings ever built in the towns that was ever resurrected up here in the United States is you'll find the house of God. Why? Because I tell you what, everybody knew for generations upon generations that the way to establish life was first build a house for God. And I want you to know something, that that shouldn't just be the aspect of a town. I want you to know that as an individual, your first pursuit should be to be the house of God. You know, the Bible says that we are a temple and that God makes his residence in us. Remember, Christ in us is the hope of glory. So I want you to know something. If you're going to say that you love somebody, if you're going to love them, the first thing you need to do is establish yourself on the love of Christ. Amen? I want you to know that your best character, your best nature, the best of who you are to give to somebody else is going to be there when you discover your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. I want us to see something in the Bible, because from the foundations of the world until now, I want you to know, I want you to know that this has been established from the very beginning of time and from the very beginning of God's working with men. It says this in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read in the verse. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." I want you to see something. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I want to just speak to this just for a moment, because what is a substance? It is a particular kind and a matter with uniform properties. It is the quality of being important. It's valid and significant. It is the most important or essential part of something. The real or essential meaning of something. And when it comes to faith, I want you to know, faith is an eternal spiritual substance that is as unchangeable as God himself. You know, I want you to know that faith is a law of the kingdom. And what's powerful about faith and what's powerful about the laws of the kingdom is they are something that do not change. You know, we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and we could talk about love. Why do we know what love is, and why do we know that love will last? Because love doesn't change. And I want you to know something. Faith doesn't change. See, what's powerful about faith is that everything we have seen faith do once, faith will do again. Amen? And what's amazing about faith is that we have the Bible filled with evidence, filled with supernatural, historical. You know what I love about the Bible? These aren't stories. These are historical, real moments that are recording the history of mankind. When we hear the name of Moses, when we hear the name of Jesus or Joseph, these aren't made up stories. These aren't parables. This is recorded history of how God has always worked with humanity. And I want you to know something, that if God's word, and it did the supernatural for people throughout the Bible, then this is where we can have confidence that God's word will do the supernatural for us now in this life that we live. Amen? It's powerful for each of us to know the goodness of God. I want to just say a few statements here. That we live by two things. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and we live by the fact that the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And I want you to know that these two aspects, when they're working in our life, that we are living out of the word of God that has proceeded out of the mouth of God, when we're living out of the Bible, and that when we are the just that live by faith, I want you to know that we're going to see supernatural things and we're going to get supernatural results. I want to remind you here before I turn from Hebrews chapter 11, that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want us to understand something. That every day the sun comes up, you're seeing how God framed the world by faith. You know, Romans chapter 4, 17 through there says that God himself spoke of things that weren't until they became. You know, when the Lord first wanted to put man on the earth, he came upon a world and an earth that was void, that was without form. And the first thing he did was he began to speak to it. Let there be light. He began to establish the things that he wanted to see. And Christians, I want to put you on notice here a little bit, that you are going to have to make sure that you are speaking what you expect to see in life. See, I want you to know something, that you never have to be ashamed of where you are right now. You never have to be scared of where you might be right now, because you can have faith and confidence that if you start applying the Word of God to your life, it's going to change. And it's not going to just change in some flippant way. It will change for the better, because we already know what faith will produce. See, I want you to know something, that you have a recorded history where Jesus even lets you know that faith will remove the mountains of your life. Amen? Amen. Faith will get the trees out of the way that shouldn't be in your life. Hallelujah. Faith will handle devils that shouldn't be in your life. Amen? And faith will bring you healing. Faith will bring you joy. Faith can bring you peace. And faith will bring you right standing with God. Amen? I want you to see that God himself is allowing you to use the supernatural way of touching things on the earth that he used. He spoke the things so they became. He added life to things, and you have a right through faith to do that. I want you to know something. And, you know, I tried to get out of this in the first service, and I couldn't get out of it in the first service, and I can't get out of it now, because I just have to bring some things, and many of them are going to be good. But it's also going to be accountable, because I want you to know something. Faith is something that everybody that is born again has a measure of. Faith is in seed form when it's released into your life. But faith is entrusted in you by God to grow. I want you to know that one time when the disciples was with the Lord, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." And I want to remind you that oftentimes when the Lord did something miraculous, he would look in his disciples and he'd say, "Hey, guys, how long am I going to be with you without you moving by faith?" There was a couple times where he admonished his disciples and said, "Hey, how is it that I've been with you this long and you still have no faith?" In other words, I want you to understand something. God has an expectation that you will gain confidence in who he is, therefore confidence in who you are, and therefore confidence in your prayers and the use of your faith. Ooh, yep, I have to say it. I want you to know something, that there is never a question of what faith will do. We have a book filled. The Bible is filled with evidence of faith, and the Bible is filled with the times that the Lord says, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And we see faith executed in great ways. The great struggle is, and I'm including myself in this, is what will people do with it? And will they use it? You know, one of the biggest questions that we have is, will we use faith in our distressed moments? Will we use our faith in challenging moments? Will we use our faith on a constant basis, or will we use alternatives? See, here's what we got to do, people, is we have to make sure that just because life puts pressure on us, that we don't alter our opportunity to stand by faith. Remember, we're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to make sure that we have to make the commitment, people, that if we're going to be people that live by faith, and the just must live by faith, we have to make sure that we don't go for alternatives when the pressure is on. You know, sometimes I know nobody in here has ever done this, but I know that sometimes when the pressure is on, some people will go back to anger, they'll go back to bitterness, they'll go back to distress mode and start speaking and acting in a way that they would never act if things were going good. See, what we have got to make sure as Christians is whether things are going good or whether things are going difficult, we don't change our nature because God never changes his nature. We don't choose in times of difficulty to have alternatives where we'll sit there and say, well, I tell you what, if God don't move by Tuesday, then I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Oh, my goodness. No, no, no. We're going to sit there and say, hey, listen, we're going to stand with God no matter what. I want to steal something from the marriage conference just for a minute because I just want to remind us of this, is that we have got to remember that when God gives us a journey and he tells us to get on this journey and go to the other side. See, when he told you to get married, he didn't expect you to say, I'm just going to be married for a year or two or when it's convenient for me. No, no, no. He expects you to ride that journey till the boat comes all the way to the other side. Amen? And I also want you to know that in the middle of every situation you're ever going to be in, the Lord never gets out of the boat. I want you to know that in the time of the disciples' distress, Jesus was in the boat with them. Now, he was resting peacefully. Why? Because he didn't care? No, because he already knew what his father told him. He already knew that they were going to the other side. There was no storm. There was no difficulty. There was nothing, even though the waves were beating and even though there was a storm out there, the Lord already knew that his father said, they're going to the other side. So that's what exactly was going to happen. They were going to make it. And I want you to understand something, that when life throws difficulties your way, don't give up. Don't back up. Don't be afraid because God is with you. Even if he seems quiet at the moment, he's not leaving you or forsaking you, and he's going to help you get to the other side. Amen. Remember, the disciples said, Lord, do you not care? Are you going to let us perish? And Jesus dealt with the storm like he always does. You know, if we're really honest with ourselves, you know, if we look back over our life, some of the times that we were distressed the most, some of the times that we were in the biggest moments of fear, God navigated that for us. And if we look back over life, we'll find out that we were fearing, stressing, and having a difficult time, but God navigated that situation. I want you to know that sometimes I pray that we come to that restful place where the Lord says that we can have righteousness, peace, and joy throughout our walk with him. Amen. Doesn't mean that circumstances are always going to be easy, but there should come a point in our life where we do rest and where we start to say, okay, this is a challenge, but I'm not going to step away from who I am. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might get sick, but I'm telling you, you ought to be bold enough to tell people, yep, but I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. You might have a money battle, but you might be bold enough to say, yep, but God is bringing me to a place where debt no longer rules my life. Amen? And I tell you what, I want us to be people that say, hey, yep, me and my husband, we might have had a little spat, but I tell you what, our best days are right out in front of us. Amen? Because the Lord is with us. Amen? Faith. We are the people that must live by faith. Remember that in the book of Romans, the Lord says that you have been called, you have been justified, and you have been glorified. What does that mean, Pastor Philip? It means that the Lord has been calling you all of your life. And the minute you receive Jesus Christ and answer that call, then I tell you what, you are now justified. I mean, it's not on your strength. It's not on your ability. The Lord says that when you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You shall be rescued. It's at that moment when you called upon the Lord that the Lord allowed the blood of Jesus to wash us white as snow, and we are now justified. Amen. So now we have a right to come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy at every time we need it. Amen? I tell you what, it is not on your strength and not on your work. It is the blood of Jesus that calls us to be justified. And that's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Those who have become the sons and the daughters of God have a right to come boldly to the throne of grace and ask our Father to intervene in our life, and he will help us. You know what's so good about God? He doesn't just help us when we do everything right. See, that's the big battle we have over the devil, is that even when we make a mistake, our Lord will intervene on our behalf. Yes, that's right. I tell you what, the Bible says that, yea, though a righteous man would fall down seven times, yea, eight, he can get back up. Amen? And I tell you what, even if you've made a mess of things, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and he will hear you and start working with you right where you're at. Amen? The just shall live by faith. Not just those that are always perfect, but those that belong to him. See, he says that you're called and then you're justified. How are you justified? The blood of Jesus covers you and washes you white as snow. And then it says after that, that you are now glorified. Do you know what that word glorified means? It means to be dressed up in the anointing, the authority, and the presence of God. Do you know that you being saved has called a great grace of goodness and power to come upon your life? Remember, the Lord says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Do you know that God has an expected place of pouring out his love on your life? Remember, we were reading, even during the tithes and offerings, I almost forgot, that the Lord says, I am going to cause you to be a delightsome land. In other words, the Bible says that people are going to begin to look at you. They're going to be able to see the joy, the peace. They're going to be able to see the love and the mercy that's upon your life. And they're going to be able to ask you, what in the world is it that in life gives you such hope? And you're going to be able to tell them, I have Jesus. The Lord is my helper. And it's him that has given me joy, peace. It's him that is ruling over my life. It's him that's helping me. If you see something good in me, if you see me in my life and my family being reflective of joy and peace, it's because God is working on our behalf. Amen? Woo, hallelujah. The Lord is good. You guys are getting me stirred up. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, I just want to remind each and one of us that that faith and the substance of faith is a law that will repeat what has already been done. You know, when we see in the Bible that people have been healed, we ought to know that we can receive healing. I want you to know something, that when it comes to salvation, think about it. From the moment the Lord said in Genesis that he was going to send his son and bruise the head of the serpent, and he was going to overturn Satan's authority and overturn what Satan had done to Adam, the minute he said that, do you know that generations began to be saved? Abraham found salvation, Moses found salvation, and all of this was done even before they were able to go to the cross. And now that Jesus went to the cross, I want you to know that thousands upon thousands, and the numbers that we can't even count, have been able to be saved by what Jesus did. And if they were able to be saved, one thing that's powerful for us is that we can absolutely be sure that not only can we have salvation, but we can have the miraculous work of Jesus active in our life. We're able to experience the supernatural. We're able to be rescued. Do you know that God can send angels to help us when we need it? I want you to know that the Lord says that angels will be encamped round about us and will help us and rescue us at times that we need rescued. Amen? I want you to know that God is with us and God never fails us. Amen? I want to take you to a scripture. Hallelujah. In the book of Philippians. think that I might do something to mark my Bible a little more when I'm going to turn to scriptures. But I want you to not be afraid to get in this word. Praise God. Listen, I want you to know something, that faith in the Bible and the power. Well, I got a scripture to go through before I go to Philippians, so I'll put that in there. I can come back here quickly. But, you know, I want you to understand something. That coming and being a part of church is a very important part of what we are supposed to do. Because God has an aspect of how he builds us in church. I want you to know that if you are a saved person, you should have a church that you're a part of. But I also want you to know that the Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved. And what that means is that God has a personal relationship with you where your faith is going to be increased, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's going to come out of your prayer, out of your faith, out of your reading the word and your seeking God. I want to remind you that the Bible says here that faith is something that we must use. And I want to really read to you out of 1 John chapter 5 that what the Bible says. In verse 2 it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." The first thing I want you to know as believers is that it is not hard for you to be a Christian. Now, don't get me wrong. There's going to be some challenge that comes upon you in your faith. There are going to be difficulties that happen. I want you to know that sometimes there are situations that you're going to have to use your faith, because in all honesty, someone's going to make you mad or something's going to happen and you're going to want to handle things the way you used to. I mean, in the world before we knew the Lord, someone made us mad and we could tell them all about themselves and give them a good piece of our mind. But now, in the body of Christ, when you have someone that opposes you, the Bible says we have to pray for them. But I want you to know something. That faith is very powerful. And your faith is very powerful. You know, your faith, even in seed form, has already done supernatural things. Look what it says here. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now, are you saved? Yeah. Guess what? You've overcome the world. Guess what caused you to overcome the world? Jesus. And guess what he used to overcome it? Your faith. Because the Bible says that a man or a woman that believes must believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can be saved. I want you to know something, that the minute you ever use your faith to be a person that would be saved, lets you know that your faith can overcome the world. Amen. I want you to know something, that your faith can overcome every challenge that would come against your marriage. I want you to know that your faith can overcome every challenge that comes against your life. I want you to know that your faith can overcome the challenge that will come against your children. And certainly your faith can overcome any time the enemy would try to derail you, tell you you're not saved, tell you you're not loved of God, or tell you what you can't do in life. Your faith has the power to overcome every one of those situations. Amen? Listen, I want you to know something. What has kept the world going? Faith. And what has kept every generation? Faith. I tell you what, years ago, now this is way before I was a little boy. This was before my time. Not really. I remember years ago, before there was ever more than a billion people on the earth, science and everybody was predicting that resources were all dried up. They were predicting that we would not have enough fuel to fuel vehicles. They were predicting that we would not have enough food to feed everybody. But what they didn't know was that there was going to come fracking, a process that can produce fuel. And they didn't know that combines were one day going to have a GPS system. Amen? My goodness. They didn't know the witty inventions that God was going to release to make the world sustainable. And here they were back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even in the 90s telling you how we're going to come to poverty, we're going to come to this. And all of a sudden, we have 7.5 billion people on the earth. And don't get me wrong, do we have poor? Yes. Do we have hungry? Yes. But not nearly at the state it would be if there wasn't faith in God. And so when we look at these challenges that come upon humanity, I want you to know something, that our faith has overcome the world. Amen? And the Lord is going to take what he's done in you, and he's going to build out of it, and you are going to be successful even more and more. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to go back to the book of Philippians because I really want to share something with you out of Philippians chapter 1 that is powerful for every one of us. And it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And I want you to remember your first day of salvation till now. I want you to know something, that I know that you've had powerful days in your salvation. But I also know that you've had challenging days. I know that you've had some difficult moments and some difficult days. But I also know that God has been faithful to you to bring you through every one of them. And I want you to hear a proclamation from the Lord that's for your life even right now. And it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." I want to just give every one of you a proclamation that must be a part of your weaponry, so to speak. I want you to know that at the times that life may challenge you, at the time where disappointment comes, at the time where fear or stress comes, I want to remind you that God didn't just begin something with you that he's not willing to finish. In fact, another scripture says that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And I will tell you that there is a day where God began to author your faith, but I'll also tell you that there's a day along your journey where God is finishing your faith. He wants to finish what he's begun in your marriage. He wants to finish what he's begun in your salvation. He wants to finish what he has begun in your ministry and the assignments that he's given you upon this earth. I want you to have an absolute confidence that the God who begun your journey is faithful to finish it right up until the day of Jesus Christ. I love that. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you," that would be Jesus, that would be God, that would be the Holy Ghost. "These three have begun a good work in you and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." I want you to know something, that each one of us can have an absolute confidence that whether we get to live out the fullness of our days and we get to go to the grave and then go towards heaven, or whether we are here when the Lord returns, the Lord is going to be faithful to you in every day that you live. You can rest in him. You can trust in him. You can have an absolute confidence in him. And it's going to be important, because I tell you what, no matter who you are as a believer, you're going to have some quiet days. You're going to have some times where difficulties come and challenges might so-called smack you right in the face, and it will try to cause you to be distracted and try to cause you to question some things. And one thing I don't want you to ever question is the goodness of God or his faithfulness. Amen. He would have never started you on the journey of salvation if he didn't have a plan to finish your journey. Amen? Hallelujah. Our God is faithful. And I want you to be absolutely confident. I don't even want you to question it. I want you to have a confidence in it. You know, I'm not saying that you should be cocky, but you should be bold. And you should be bold enough to even tell the enemy, devil, I don't know why you're even coming against me, because I'm not giving up my faith and I'm not stepping backwards one bit. Yes. Just because this year has been challenging, the Lord's going to give me another year. Amen. And just because this moment has been difficult, God's going to give me another moment. Amen. And just because I've faced some disappointment, God is going to bring me to a place of victory. Amen. Yes. Listen, do you realize that before you were saved, you're the weakest you'd ever be in the earth? Before you were saved, you were subject to the devil. Before you were saved, he had a right to bully you, boss you around, and even put you in difficult situations. But do you know that when you were the weakest ever, when you were unsaved and when you were angry, and some of us were addicted and some of us were thinking about hurting ourselves and some of us were depressed and discouraged, when we were at our weakest moment and we called upon the name of the Lord, there was nothing the devil, all of hell, or the entire world could do to stop you from being saved. Once you set your faith and said, Lord, help me, I need to be saved, you know that there was nothing that could keep you from that moment. And I tell you what, if at your weakest moment you can overturn all of darkness, you can stop the plan of the devil, and you can get saved, then what in the world can stop you now that you're strong? Amen. See, the Bible says that before you were saved, you were weak. So when we're saved, what does that mean? We're now strong. And we're not strong within ourselves. Woo! We are supernaturally strong within the love of God. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just declare your goodness, your power, your victory. And God, I thank you for the faith you've released in each one of us, God. Father, I thank you that we have faith to live this life. We have faith to keep our confidence in you, Father. Lord, our faith can keep us strong. And God, that you would not begin anything in us, Lord, without making sure that you had the plan to finish every course of our life, Father. Lord, you are more than enough for our relationships, whether it be our marriage or whether it be for our children, God. Father, whether it be work, or whether it be any other endeavor that we do, Father God. Lord, you are more than enough. You are powerful. And God, as we use our faith, there's nothing that can stop us from accomplishing and finishing our course in you, Father God. Lord, you love us. And Father, as a result, you release the supernatural, eternal way of living, God. God, a way of living that would overcome this world, that would overtake the enemy, that could stop storms. Father, that could raise people from the dead. Lord, that could bring us into salvation. Father, that could stop every storm that comes against our life. You have given us faith, God. And as we put our faith and trust in you, God, there's no limit to what can be done. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, God bless each and every one of you. I thank you for being here with us.